There's been times in our lives that we've been lonely, filled with despair and desolation, and we just don't know how to get rid of that. Through David's life, he had a beatitude attitude. I would say David could go through them beatitudes in Matthew, and he could almost check off every one of those boxes. So how can a man of God, like David, who slayed Goliath, slayed this giant, was a king, had a lot going on in his life, he was at the top of where God wanted him and his purpose. But we read about David's turmoil, his sorrow, how much despair and how much alone he was, the guilt and the shamefulness. How do we go from being such children of God to such despair and desolation in our lives? Charles Spurgeon said, "Repentance is as much a mark of a Christian as faith is. A very little sin, as the world calls it, is a very great sin to a true Christian. True repentance will require four things: the acknowledgement of wrong, the willingness to confess it, abandon it, and to make it restitution for it." David knew his sin. He sorrowed for the sins he did. We see him confess that in Psalms 51. And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, we can open to that, Psalms 51. So we should not tolerate any sins in our lives. We need to encourage each other's to get to the right path, beyond the path of righteousness. We, as children of God, need to be loving and open and honest, where we can encourage and help those see sin for what it is. Is everyone at Psalms 51? Beautiful. Verse 1 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil, in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part that shall make me to know wisdom." In verse 1 through 6, David's crying out for mercy on him. David recognizes his awful sin. David knows God's grace, his compassion, and only God can erase and rid our sins. Understand, this is real guilt. We read that David's using the words me's and my's and I's. He's not passing blame on anybody. He's taking full acceptance of that. Too many times we pass blame on others, and we know who Eve passed the blame on to the serpent, and Adam passed the blame onto Eve. And we need to truly own up if we want true repentance in our lives. So if healing is what you want, if being close to God is what you need, if the frustrations of guilt and shamefulness irritate you, if the loneliness is hollowing out a space inside of you, a space of emptiness that seems unfillable, we must start here with repentance. Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." We're in Psalms 51. Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold with thy free spirit. We can remember the word hyssop in verse 7. It's a ceremonious cleansing effect of forgiveness. We've seen Jesus with the sponge and the vinegar got put to his lips. And that was true forgiveness. And that's how God forgives us, is through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We want to be joyful again and happy in our lives. We don't want Jesus to cast us away, in verse 11, from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with the free spirit. If God will cleanse us, we will be pure. We can read that in Psalms 103:12. Our transgressions are removed as far as the east is from the west. What a feeling. We can't do it ourselves or on good intention. God is waiting to restore us the joy, the peace, the goodness of a close relationship with God and God alone. God has the power. He sent Jesus, the only perfect, holy human, as a sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ suffered for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened eternally to alive in the spirit. A clean heart, in verse 10, a prayer we should hold in our hearts, an unwavering spirit, steadfast spirit, all should desire this, not to be lonely or cast away. He wants that joy, that happiness, that feeling of salvation again. We can't lose our salvation. But we remember the time that we were saved and how much we want to please the Lord. Once we have our internal parts of us, our hearts clean, once our relationship with God is connected again, we can start teaching others and saving others, doing what God has planned for us. And we can see that in verse 13. If we get our hearts and our lives back on God's track, if we want a life that matters, we must be purged. We must be cleaned by God. In Isaiah 6:7, chapter 6, verse 7, we read about Isaiah being cleansed with the live coal. It touches his mouth, his lips. His iniquity was taken away. His sin was purged. In verse 8, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So when David's talking about being able to go out and help other transgressors, he knows exactly what he can do if he has that clean heart and he has that relationship with God. Psalm 66, verse 18 states, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. We know we need to have a close relationship with him if we want to be heard. But the good news, continuing from Psalm 66, verse 19 and 20, he continues to say, if you will pray, God won't turn away, nor will he remove his mercy. So back in Psalms chapter 51, verses 14 and 15, David only wants to praise God. David's only desire is to please God. So we see a man with so much sin, iniquity, evil, and transgressions in his life. How could he go from being such a children of God to being in such despair and loneliness? It's a sin in our lives that remove us with the communion from him. And I know we celebrated Independence Day this Sunday, and we know that our great country was founded on the Bible, founded with God being foremost and being in front. And we can see our country going downhill, and we can see God being put on the back burner more and more. Our hearts are being hardened. We're having calluses, and we need to know how to remove them. David gives a clear explanation in Psalms 51 what exactly we need to do, the plea, the cry for genuine mercy and grace that we need to continually ask for in our daily lives. These eternal problems never pose a great risk. It's what's inside, internally. So we need to continue to put eternal thoughts in our internal selves to continue to grow and please God. Doing that will restore that relationship that was once lost. I can tell you a story about Kelly and I, and I'll make it brief. We were married in 04, and we went to church for a couple years, and we got sidetracked. About 10 years goes by, and I'm sitting there wondering, what is going on? How come this, whatever sins in the world, homosexuality, drinking, being wrong, and knowing it was wrong, didn't seem wrong to me. I wanted to please myself because I deserved to go out and have fun. 10 years of that, and I was sitting there wondering, I want to be right with God. So I put on my boxing gloves and I got in that ring and I just started swinging away. I started struggling because I know God wanted me back. He loves me and he has a great purpose for not only me, but each one of us. And it dawned on me when I was reading Psalms 51, I should not be coming out swinging. I should be coming out, falling on my knees and giving it to God. And in that moment, I slowly felt all those years of calluses falling off my heart. I started acknowledging God for who he is and what purpose he had for my life. He brought Kelly and I down to Tallahassee, Florida, and it's a pretty great place being here with everyone. So we know, as David, having that attitude of Beatitudes and knowing that. And let's read Psalms or Matthew chapter 5, just verses 3 through 12. We're studying that during Sunday chapel. And while we can check the boxes off for David, and we can check all of them off for our Savior Jesus Christ, let's focus this week on just acknowledging how we should be, how we should act once we are restored again with God by true repentance. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So how is God going to accept our repentance? What has he done to erase our sins? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to die on that cross. He buried our sins. He rose again. He conquered death so we could have eternal life with him and his Father in heaven. It's as simple as the ABCs. I was at youth camp this last week, and I've never heard of the ABCs of salvation before. And I want to make it as simple to everyone here. ABCs. Admit, believe, and confess. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Christ that he died for us. Confess your sins to him. That he died, buried our sins, rose again. We'll have eternal life with him. So as David's only desire is to please God in Psalms 51, verses 16 and 17. What is our desire? God's planned a purpose in our lives, that we can serve him, that we can walk with him, that he loves us. Now is the time, Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. We had a little Bible study. Now it's going to be prayer time. If there's something that's holding you back from your relationship with Christ, now is the time to get connected again. We've seen children of God throughout the Bible fail, and yet God still blesses them. We can be that person. I think we are on a brink of something huge in our county, in our community. I think God's really moving. Laws are passing in our country, supporting life that matters. And if we get right with God, we can make that simple difference. So let's just have a minute of prayer time, and then I will close. Heavenly Father, we love you. You're so mighty, so powerful and sovereign. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us, that we may have eternal life with you. Please soften our hearts this week. Make us grow with you. Continue showing your way with us, Lord. For all we do, we should worship you and only you. We love you, and guide and direct us. Give us safe travels back home. Bring us back here on Sunday so we can continually worship and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.